Mark chapter 1, look at verse number 16, and we'll start our message this morning. We've been preaching through the book of Mark. Our theme this year is follow his steps. And now today we get to the place where Jesus says, come after me. In other books of the Bible, he says, follow me. And that's the title this morning, just simply follow me. So Mark chapter 1, verse number 16. He's talking about Jesus. The Bible says this, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. I want to challenge you this morning. When Jesus said, follow me, to his disciples, they left everything and followed him. And my challenge to you this morning is that when God says, follow me, live for me, serve me, my challenge to you this morning is to do the same thing that these disciples did. Just go ahead and say, okay, I will follow you. Just leave whatever it is, whatever desires, whatever plans, whatever future you may have planned for yourself, leave that in God's hands and say, okay, I will follow you. I got three simple points this morning. And just to kind of help us to work through the story this morning, we're going to be looking at the different places in the Bible where Jesus called his other disciples. Some places, like this morning, he said, come after me, I'll make you fishers of men, or to become fishers of men. Another place, he actually said the words, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus' call to follow was simple. Whenever he came up to Peter, we'll get to Matthew in a little bit. He came up to Peter and he came up to his brother Andrew. They were fishing. The Bible says they were in their nets. They're not in their nets. They were in their boat, fishing with their nets. We got off to a good start anyway. I'm picturing hammocks there laying on in the nets. They were in their boat, fixing their nets. We'll see in another place. Jesus walked up to them. He was teaching the people. Andrew and Peter were there in their boats. Jesus asked them, can I get in your boat and get a little bit away from the shore so I can teach the people without them getting too close to me? Jesus said he was healing people and they were around him and just swarmed with so many people. So they pushed off a little bit. He started teaching. A little bit after that's where he said, Peter, why don't you just push out into the deep? Peter said, we've been fishing all night, Lord. There's nothing out there. We fished all night and didn't catch anything. The Lord said, just push off into the deep. And he said, let down your nets for a draft. We're gonna catch a bunch of fish this morning. I can imagine Peter thinking, well, first of all, it's not nighttime. Every good fisher knows you fish at night. Second, we just spent all night fishing. There's no fish in this lake. You've been fishing, and there's no fish in the lake where you're fishing in. The other guy, I don't know how he's catching them because there's fish on his side of the lake, but there's no fish on my side of the lake. It's just the way it works with me sometimes. But Peter went out. He pushed out into the deep water, threw out his net, and the Bible says they caught more fish than their net could hold, so that their net began to break. After that, Peter says, we'll read it here in a little bit, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. That's what's going on during this part. First of all, I want you to realize that the call was just very simple. It wasn't an argument for the reasons why you should follow him. Jesus didn't come up to Peter and Andrew and James and John and try to convince them who he was. He didn't point to them all the prophecies that had been fulfilled, although he could have done that. He could have gone back through the Old Testament and said, see this prophecy about Messiah, I fulfilled it. See this prophecy about Messiah, I fulfilled it. See this prophecy about the angel singing in my birth, I fulfilled it. See this prophecy about the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. Bet you didn't know this, but I was born in Bethlehem. He could have done that, but he didn't do any of that. He simply called them. Every prophecy leading to his birth was fulfilled. But he didn't use that as an argument. He didn't make a list of reasons for following Jesus. He didn't come up to him and said, guys, now listen, I've been up all night thinking and I put a top 10 list together of why you should follow me. He didn't do that. He simply came up to them and said, follow me. You can find a top 10 list for just about everything nowadays, and I thought about sharing some of them with you, but I don't want to waste the time on that. We'll look at those later, I'm sure. You know, but after following Jesus for a while, Peter gave a really great reason. It wasn't a top 10 list or anything like that. But John chapter 6, verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" A lot of people had left following Jesus a little bit later on, and Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Are you guys going to go too?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." A really good reason, but Jesus didn't even use that. He didn't come to them and say, "Now listen, everybody else is teaching you false stuff. I'm going to teach you the truth." No, Jesus just came and said, "Follow me." The call was very simple. It wasn't an argument. It wasn't a list of reasons. It wasn't a political speech. He didn't promise to fix anything. He didn't promise to put them in any position. He didn't say, "No more homework, no more chores. I'm going to make sure everybody catches fish from now on. No more rainy days, and everything's going to be beautiful from now on." No, it wasn't a political speech. He just said, "Follow me." When they asked for a position, in fact, he rebuked them. It wasn't about, "Here's what I can do for you, so follow me." He didn't try to motivate them by saying, "Here's a great reward that I'm going to give you." Now, there is a great reward for following Jesus, but he didn't mention that whenever he called them. It was just an opportunity to be fishers of men. So Jesus comes along. Yet he was introduced by John. They had an idea who he was. "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." He comes along, he's teaching, he's healing, and he comes and he simply says, "Follow me." It was simply, "Follow me." I believe they were motivated by who he was. We saw that in verse 22. It was after he said, "Follow me," and after they'd left their nets and after they'd followed him, that he went into Capernaum, he went to the synagogue, and he began teaching. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 22, they were astonished at his doctrine because he taught them as one that had authority. Here they are. He says, "Follow me." They followed him, and he begins to teach, and they're thinking, "Wow, we've never heard it like this. We've never heard anybody open the scriptures and say it quite like he says he's teaching as one who has authority." Jesus is called to follow. First of all, understand this. It's just very simple. And I want to say this as well. Jesus is called to follow him. It's still simple. This morning, Jesus wants you to follow him. And he's called you to follow him. He maybe didn't do it quite like he called Matthew and Peter and James and John and Andrew. But this morning, let me read a verse to you. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me," that's not him saying, "Peter, follow me." That's not him saying, "James, follow me," or "John, follow me," or "Andrew, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." But now, later on in his ministry, Matthew 16, 24, Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." What I want you to understand is, first of all, Jesus is still calling this morning. He still wants you to follow him this morning. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, that's the first thing he wants you to do. He wants you to follow him and trust him to forgive your sins. What are you trusting to forgive your sins this morning? Let's stop and think about it for just a minute. Fill in the blank in your mind. What are you trusting this morning to forgive your sins? If you're trusting going to church, if you're trusting being good, if you're trusting not pushing old ladies down steep hills and not kicking your neighbor's dog, then you're trusting being good, but that's not going to get you to heaven. What I want you to see this morning is that following Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And the way you follow Jesus is by trusting him that he died on the cross, he paid the price for your sin, and he wants to give you eternal life. He wants to forgive your sin. That's the first step in following him. Next, he wants you to follow him as a disciple. He wants you to live your life for him. He wants you to say, "Okay, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I will do it. Just point me in the right direction." Be like one of those little wind-up toys. Remember those little wind-up toys from when you were little? You wind it up, you put it in the right direction, and it just goes. That's what I want to be with Jesus. I want Him just to point me in the right direction and twist some energy into me and just let me go in the right direction. I hope that you could say that. Just, Lord, I just want to do what You want me to do. Lord, I just want to follow You. So the call is still there, and Jesus' call to follow is still simple. He calls us to follow Him through His Word. Maybe you're reading the Bible, and He'll use something that we would call conviction. And as you're reading the Word of God, and as you study tonight, we're going to be preaching on some things. Last week, we preached about some things that you need to put off from your life. And there were some things that really, they convicted me. We were preaching about anger and malice and blasphemy and evil or filthy communications. And sometimes I find myself having those things, and I needed to put those things off. And as I read the Bible, the conviction is there. God convicts me. And I realize I need to follow Jesus. And if I got this in my life, I can't follow Him right. Conviction. And God will use conviction to be something that he puts in your heart and says, I want you to follow Me. Maybe there's a practical application. You're reading the Bible, or you're listening to preaching, and the preacher says something, or the Bible, you're reading it, and here's one. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Or forgive. We're going to preach about this a little bit tonight. Forgive as Jesus forgave you. These are practical things. And you might be thinking, so I want to follow Jesus. How do I do it? Well, however He speaks to us through His Word, He also calls us to follow Him through His Spirit. This is an amazing truth. Doctrine, but listen, it's foundational. You got to understand it. Whenever you trust Jesus Christ to save you, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. I can't explain it. Can't tell you where it happens. I can't tell you where it is, but somehow the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and now God living in you says, I don't want you to go there. I do want you to go here. Don't hang out with those people, but listen, I do want you to share the gospel with this person. And the Spirit of God that lives inside of you is guiding you and directing you. He wants you to live for Him. And so just as real as Jesus saying to Peter, follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. The Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved this morning, the Holy Spirit of God wants to do the same thing with you, and He wants to come to you, and He wants to say, I want you to do this for Me. I want you to teach this class, or I want you to go soul winning, or I want you to share the gospel. I want you to be a good testimony to those people that you're working with. The Spirit of God will call you to follow Him. And it's still just simple. He's not going to argue with you. He's not going to fuss with you. He's not going to fight with you a lot of times. He'll convict you about it. And then if you say no, a lot of times He'll just let you go to disobey. But I want to challenge you this morning, whenever He simply calls, just say yes. God, whatever it is You want me to do, I want to follow just like Peter followed, just like James followed, just like John followed. I want to be willing to leave whatever it is, leave my plans, leave my schedule, and follow You. Jesus' call to follow was simple. Then I want you to see that Jesus' call to follow was very clear. It's very clear. He didn't come up and ask them if they wanted to follow. He didn't sit down for a while and talk about it and say, so here's my plan, here's my business plan, I'll present this to you, and didn't put it up for a vote, and didn't even ask him, so you want to do this? Do you want to follow? He just said, follow Me, I'll make you fishers of men. It's very clear. He just told them to do it. Here's another thing. Jesus wasn't looking for leaders. He wasn't looking for people who would fill out a resume and say, yes, I have great leadership potential, great leadership ability. Now, I think that's a great thing. If God has given you that potential, but listen, before you can be a good leader, you've got to be a good follower. So all Jesus was looking for was somebody who would say, okay, He said, follow Me. I'm fishing right now, or I'm mending my nets right now. I'm in my boat right now, but He said, follow Me. John the Baptist introduced Him as the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. This is the one. This is the Messiah. Okay, I'll follow You. Just that simple. And His call was just very clear. Follow Me. He wasn't looking for leaders. He was looking for followers. He would make them leaders later. That reminds me of that joke, but I won't tell it. All right, take me to your leader, ladder leader. I'll meet your leader later. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, let's move on. So a young woman was trying to get into college. She was filling out the questions on the application, and one question says, are you a leader? She was honest. She's also being conscientious, so she wrote no to that question. On college application, are you a leader? She wrote no. She returned the application, expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received a letter from the college, and it says this: Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. Everyone, I mean, if they ask us, are you a leader? Of course we're going to check. Yes, I'm a leader. Jesus isn't looking for leaders. He's looking for someone who says, I will follow. I will simply follow your clear call. There's times when all of us need to lead in various roles, but sometimes we become so focused on leadership, we forget our first responsibility is to be a follower of Christ. The first command that he gave the disciples was, follow me. And the same is true for us. There's no way to be successful, victorious Christians, without first walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And you know, Jesus' call to follow him is still clear. I want to challenge you to follow him. Just three areas, we're going to move on. I want to challenge you to follow Jesus as he builds his church. He was talking to Peter and he said, thou art Peter. His name wasn't Peter yet, it was Simon. But he changed his name right then. He's Simon Peter. He says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was talking about himself. He said, I will build my church. And if I'm going to follow somebody, I want to follow somebody that has made the promise. This is God. He said, I will build my church. You know, Jesus is still looking for followers. He said he would build his church, but he said, I'd love for you to follow me along as I do it. That's the kind of follower I want to be. I don't want to try to build a church. I can't build a church. You can't build a church. None of us can build a church. We might be able to get a lot of people together. We might be able to have a big crowd, but only Jesus can build a church. He said, I will build my church, but I'll tell you what, I sure want to be involved in it. I'm so excited to have been in the ground floor of this church getting going. And I still feel like if you're part of our church right now, you got in on at a great time. All right, ground floor opportunity for you. All right, I'm about to sell you something. No, really, you came at a great time because there's some great things about to happen at this church. Great days are ahead. People are getting saved. We knocked on almost 500 doors last week sharing the gospel. 12 people got saved last week sharing the gospel. And there's just more plans for the future, reaching more people with the gospel, more people getting saved, more people being discipled, more families being strengthened. I'm excited to be part of this, but I want to follow him as he builds his church. I want to challenge you to follow him as he builds his church. Jesus' call to follow him is still clear. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to challenge you to follow him as he saves the lost. We put a big emphasis on soul winning around here, and I think we ought to. I mean, that's why we do it. The Bible talks about reaching lost people with the gospel. The Bible teaches us that there really is a real hell with real fire where real people will spend forever if they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because of that, we need to tell the lost about Jesus, how he wants to save their soul. The Bible also tells us about a place, it's called heaven, where there really is God. There really are streets of gold. There really is, it's a wonderful place where there is no death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. The former things are passed away. Those places are really real. There really is a God that loves them. We need to tell the lost world about Jesus. We need to be soul winners. But understand this, I don't save a soul. You don't save a soul. Only Jesus can save a soul. I can tell them how to be saved. I can get a gospel tract out of my pocket and I can say, hey, did you get one of these? I love asking people, hey, did you get one of these? And I can show them from that gospel track. I think we might even have one right here. There it is, right there. I can show them from that gospel track. I can say, hey, did you get one of these? And I can go through there and I can show them, look, we're all sinners. We all deserve to die and go to hell. We're going to stand before God one day and he's going to be our judge. And if we are guilty of sin, then we deserve to die and go to hell. But Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the price for your sin. And he wants to give you a free gift of eternal life. If you'll just take it, wouldn't you like to do that right now? I want to share the gospel with people, but I can't save them. You can't save them. So here's what I want to do. I want to follow him. I want to follow Jesus because he said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if that's what he's doing, I want to follow him along the way. Jesus called them, but he's still calling and his call is still clear. The simple question is, will you follow him? The call to follow Jesus was, it was simple. It was just, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Didn't try to convince them, didn't try to talk them into it, didn't lay out a well-thought argument, just follow me, make you fishers of men. Jesus' call was very simple, it was very clear. They understood. I was supposed to follow him. There wasn't any doubt. It wasn't like they stood up and said, now, what was it we were supposed to do again? We're following him. Now, I don't know what exactly that meant. I don't know if it meant that they're supposed to go every single place that he went. I'm sure he gave them more instruction as they went. At one point, he sent them out to preach and to heal and all that. But he guided them. He followed them. It was just very, very clear. Get up, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And then I want you to see this. Jesus' call to follow was extreme. This is where I want to spend the rest of our time this morning. Jesus' call to follow was extreme. Now think about this. Peter and Andrew and James and John, those are the four guys we read about. They're sitting over here in their boat. Peter and Andrew had finished fishing. They're coming in. Jesus gets on the boat and teaches for a while. James and John, they're mending their nets. They worked for, I believe this is how it worked. It was family business. They worked for James and John's father, Zebedee. These two guys were called the Sons of Thunder. You just didn't want to mess with them, right? I don't know why, but they're called Sons of Thunder. Andrew and Peter were fishing with them, probably a family business. Here they are. They're mending their nets. They're just fishing. Fishermen. That's what they do for a living. And Jesus comes and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We're talking about a completely different thing here. Jesus didn't say, follow me, help me catch fish, sell them, I've got a big business plan, we're gonna do good together. No, he's talking about something totally different. The call to follow was extreme. The disciples all left something. And here's where I'm going to challenge you this morning. Matthew 4:19, Peter and Andrew left their nets. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway, the Bible says, left their nets and followed him. Have you ever thought about what happened to those nets? Well, probably Zebedee, you know, Thunder, I'm assuming, Sons of Thunder, so he has to be Thunder. I don't know if that's the way it works or not, but I'm assuming Zebedee took over the nets and the boats, and that was fine. But they had to leave them. You ever been challenged to do something, but you had to leave it there? So if I'm pulled over, and the police officer says, you're going to have to leave your car on the side of the road. I'm going to do it because he said to do it. But I'm not going to want to do it. Just leave it there. Wait, that's mine. So Jesus comes and says, follow me. They immediately get up and they just leave their nets. Now, not only did they physically leave their nets and their boats, but they left their jobs. They left their careers. They left the one thing they had to support their family. And they did that, why? To follow Jesus. Following Jesus is extreme. James and John left their ship and their father, Matthew 4:21. The Bible says, and going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him. So a couple of guys left their ship and left their nets. These guys left their ship, they leave their nets, and their father. They walked away from the family business to follow Jesus. I'm telling you, following Jesus is extreme. We read the stories and say, that's awesome. They left fishing to follow Jesus. That's great. Wait, there's a lot more to this. They left their future. They left their income. They left their security to follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, we have Jesus calling Matthew. Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. What did Matthew leave? You're going to love this. Matthew left his desk job to follow Jesus. Now, most of us would say, sign me up for that, right? I'll leave my desk job. Let somebody else figure out all that paperwork. I'll follow him. But it's the same thing. This is his future. It's his career. It's the way that he supports his family. Following Jesus is extreme. Now, there were others who refused to follow Jesus. And the reason is because they didn't want to leave something. Every one of them that I found is nameless. Well, I know they had a name, but we don't have their name. You know Andrew and Peter and John and James and Matthew and Philip, Jesus called him, and Nathaniel, and different ones. Jesus called them and they said, yes, they followed him. But these nameless people, they had names, but we don't know what they are. There was a nameless scribe, Matthew chapter 8, verse 19, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That sounds good. I mean, not Jesus didn't come to this man and say, follow me. This man came to Jesus. He volunteered. He signed up himself. Master, I'll follow you anywhere you go. And Jesus looks at him, verse 20, and saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically say that that man turned around and left, but we don't know his name. And Jesus went on and gave us some other reasons why people didn't follow him. This particular one would have had to leave his comfort zone. Leave the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I'm thinking this guy didn't want to leave his pillow or his bed. Mind over mattress, and the mattress won. And he didn't want to leave his comfort zone. You know, sometimes to follow Jesus, you're going to have to leave your comfort zone. There's a place where you live right now, and it's clicking. I mean, it works. You got a schedule. You got a routine. Things are working together. Then all of a sudden, you're reading along, or you're listening to preaching, and God smites your heart, and the conviction comes, and you're thinking, no, I don't want to do that because everything's working fine right now. I'm not going to take on a class. I'm not going to work on the bus ride. I'm not going to surrender to be a preacher or a missionary. I'm not going to do that because that means I'm going to have to change something. And everything's working just too well right now. I don't want to change something. You're in a comfort zone, and you're like this one that didn't want to leave what was comfortable. Then there was a nameless disciple. Matthew 8:21, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. As I understand this, the man, his father hadn't died. His father wasn't maybe even close to dying. But he didn't want to leave his family until after this stage of life that he was in is over. Wait until my father's not on the scene anymore. Let me take care of this stage of my life first, and then I will follow you. I'll follow you after I graduate from high school. Let me give you some scenarios, and I want you to think through this, and I want you to realize how this kind of thinking could put following Jesus off till it's way too late in your life. Okay, follow with me through this. I'll follow you, Lord, but I really want to, but I'm going to wait till after I graduate from high school. How many are in here today, and you're not old enough to be out of high school yet? All right, raise your hand. I'm doing this for two reasons. I want you to respond. I want you to wake up. All right, so you're not, okay, put your hands down. You're in this category where you can say, Lord, I would follow you, but I want to wait till after I graduate. You know, that's really when I can do it. I mean, I really can't even make my own decisions right now. I'm under my parents' authority. Wait till after high school, and then I'll do it. But what you will find is next you'll be saying, I'll follow you, Lord. I really want to follow you, but I'll follow you after I graduate from college. How many this morning would be in that maybe the 18 to 25-year-old range? Anybody in there? Okay, got a couple. Brother Santiago, put your hand down. All right. You got a few in that range right there. Now, you find yourself saying, I want to do this. I really want to follow the Lord. I want to serve Him. I want to help Him build His church. I want to reach lost people with the gospel. But really, it'd probably be better if I wait till I finish college. I got to focus on my studies right now. Got to get some things figured out right now. Or next is I'll follow you after I get settled into a good career. Or I'll follow you after I pay off some debts. Don't worry, I won't have you raise your hand. There's some things that I got to get settled here. But Lord, I want to follow you. I really want to make a difference for you. I've only got one life, I know it. I know this life is going by too fast. I know it's like a vapor, and I've only got one. But Lord, I got to wait until I pay off some of these debts. Or Lord, I'll follow you, and I really want to, but it's just so busy right now. I feel like I should put taxi on the side of my car. I'm taking my kids everywhere. Lord, I'll follow you, but I'm going to wait until after my kids are out of the house. And then, Lord, I'll follow you. But I feel like probably the best time is going to be after I retire, because I'm going to have all that time. You know, I'm busy right now trying to pay the bills and trying to take care of everything. So, Lord, after I retire, did you see what I just did? I put off following Jesus my entire life. Now, when you get to being retired, I bet you don't think of any excuse for not following the Lord. I don't know, some of you that are retired here, you might say, I got all kinds of time, but there's all kinds of other stuff going on in my life. It's still hard to follow God. Or you retire and you find you're back to work. Whatever it is, you may find, you've seen it too often, people put off following and put off following, and they think they're going to live to be as old as everybody else they know, but they don't live that long. We don't know how long we have. We don't know how much life we've been given. There was another nameless disciple, Luke 9:61, another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. One after another, people who considered themselves disciples of Jesus found out that they really weren't. They wanted the benefits of being a disciple without leaving anything behind. They wanted Jesus' attention, but they really didn't want to be with him. Yeah, I want to be a disciple. I want to get my picture taken with the group of disciples, right? And then once I'm in the photo, I'm going to go home. And there was a nameless rich man. Behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which one? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, we don't know this guy's name. We call him the rich young ruler sometimes. He's a young guy. He's got some money. Selling everything and giving it to the poor wasn't going to give him eternal life. You know that. I know that. You don't buy your way into heaven. Jesus wasn't saying, if you sell everything and give it to the poor, then you can go to heaven. No. Jesus knew he wasn't ready to get saved yet. This man thought he was good enough to get to heaven on his own merit. I've been good. If he would have spent time with Jesus, though, he would have realized just how sinful he was. And he might have humbly asked Jesus to be his Savior. See, Peter had this kind of a moment. I'm not going to have time to tell this whole story. It's when Jesus came. Peter pushes out. Jesus is on his boat. Jesus is teaching the people that were there. It's when he says, go out into the deep. He catches a lot of fish. He comes back. And at that point, Peter says, let me find it right here. He fell on his knees. It's Luke 5:8. And he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And we brought him back. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. See, the rich young ruler, he had everything he wanted. He thought he'd done been good. He thought he'd done good enough to get to heaven. What he really needed was to spend some time with Jesus. And if he would have simply spent some time with Jesus, I believe the same response that Peter had would have come from his lips, where he says, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. And Jesus says, no, I don't want to depart from you. I want you to follow me. Come follow me. And he trusts Christ as his Savior. Jesus' call to follow him was extreme. They had to leave something. Nets, boats, fathers. One guy, sell everything that you've got and give it to the poor. I mean, this is extreme. But you realize this morning, Jesus' call to follow him is still extreme. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What's a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This wasn't said to any particular disciple. It wasn't Peter, if you will follow me, take up your cross and follow me. No, this was any man. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Another place, John 12:26, the Bible says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus' call to follow him is still extreme. If any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because I think I set up the table in the last point, but here it is. What is it that you're holding on to instead of following Jesus? He may not come to you and say, follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. He doesn't have to. Because he said, if any man come after me, let him follow me. He said, I want you to follow me. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came to build my church. Here's these things that I am doing, and I want you to follow me. But if you're going to do that, it will be extreme. There will be things that you have to leave, and there will be a cross that you'll have to bear. But Jesus says, I want you to follow me. The rewards for following Jesus is greater than anything else you can do with your life. And I'll finish with this. Peter had been following Jesus for a while. You get to Mark chapter 10, verse 28. The book of Mark only has 16 chapters. The last two are about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 10 is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. Peter had been following him. Peter had left the boats and left the nets and left the fishing. He left his career. He left his comfort zone. He'd been following Jesus. And then he comes to Jesus and he asks this question. Peter began to say to him, look, we've left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Now, I can't explain that verse. I can't say, look, if you leave this, this is exactly how you're going to be blessed. But I do know this. Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, I left everything for you. I did. You said to follow you, and Lord, I followed you. He wasn't asking for anything. He was just, I think, sharing what was in his heart. Lord, I've left everything. What's going to happen? And Jesus says, Peter, the reward for following me is greater than anything else this life can give you. I can't say how God's going to reward you. I can't tell you how it's going to be. I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to go great just because you decide to follow Jesus Christ. I'm not going to tell you that everything's just going to work out perfectly. I will tell you that God will reward that, and he said a hundredfold over what you left. Like I said, I can't explain it. I can say this. As I follow God, I'm loving it. As I watch people who follow the Lord, whether they have good times or whether they have bad times, they, through all of it, have the joy that passes understanding. I can't explain it, except to say, if you will follow God, if you will spend your life following Jesus Christ, following his steps, the reward that he has for you is far greater than anything you will receive trying to gather it on your own in this world. Father, thank you for letting us spend some time together in your word. Now, Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would simply do that. Lord, this morning I pray, if they're not saved, that you would convict their heart and you would help them to understand that they are a sinner and that there is a real place called hell, and they will spend forever there if they don't trust you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to understand that you love them so much. You died on the cross. You paid the price for their sin, and you want to give a free gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray that you'd help them understand that. And Lord, for those who have already trusted you as their Savior, I pray that this morning would be the day where they say, Lord, I'll follow you. Doesn't matter what I have to leave behind. Doesn't matter what I have to change in my plans, I want to follow you. And I want to serve you with all of my life above anything else.